appreciate the invite to preach, Brother Ike. Any of you that's ever dealt with a little summer cold, it just crept up on me overnight, but we don't worry about stuff like that, do we? But God is good, and good to be with each one. We're praying the Lord's going to minister to you today through His Word. We're always blessed to be here and thankful for our pastor. I know you are too. And for those of you that maybe it's the only pastor you've ever known, trust me, they're not all like Brother Ike. And so caring for the flock. Yep, wasn't that Peter's advice? It's just to watch care of the flock. But if you got your Bible, look with us in Acts chapter 10. We're going to look in 10 and 11 a little bit today. See a few things maybe God would have us see. And so we'll reference some verses maybe in the Old Testament and back in the Gospels. But we'll focus on the book of Acts. So it may not get very loud. Try to make sure the voice don't get too rough on your ears. So if it gets too bad, just wave or shout or do something. I didn't bring a coat, Brother Ike. I didn't bring a coat. I don't think the fellow that thought that whole coat thing in June and July was a good idea, I don't think he lived down here. Matter of fact, I'd kind of like to get my hands on him sometimes, don't you? But, you know, it's the thing of when we talk about the old preachers of that built this country. It was funny how so many colleges, the great colleges and institutions of America, were preacher schools. And so all through the Northeast, where the most liberal people are today, it wasn't their founding. No, they were. John Harvard built that to educate preachers and teach them and prepare them to go out. And so whether it's Princeton or Rutgers or whatever it is, those great schools of the Northeast region, they were built for preparing preachers. And so that's been lost. And you know, we see that what's going on in the UK, the division there, and that's much to watch for, because those seven heads and ten kingdoms reference that region of the world. And so we want to be watchful, not worried, but prayerful and watchful. And we don't know when things are going to develop over there, but we just know they, from the Word of God, Revelation 13, they will develop. And so if that's in our lifetime or next week, we don't know. But we're trusting the living Savior. Look with us in Acts chapter 10. And so see this. Acts chapter 10, we're going to be reading. We're not going to read. There's so much text, we're not going to read it all. But just to preface a little bit, in verse number 1, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band, a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming unto him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he's afraid, and said, What is it, Lord? He said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa, and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea side, and he shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. When the angel went and spake unto Cornelius, when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. And on the morrow as they went on their journey and drew nigh to the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry, would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened. And a certain vessel descended unto him, as it had been a great sheet, knit at the four corners, and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that's common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common.
This was done thrice. It's three times, isn't it? And the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter doubted himself what this vision he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate and called and asked Peter whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit, watch this, two verses. The Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore, get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Let's pray. Father, take your word today. God, speak it to hearts. Open our understanding with it, Lord. Encourage us, strengthen us. God, fortify us. Lord, we ask you to minister to every heart. If there's an unsaved one, save them. And God, open our understanding. Encourage the saints. And we'll give you praise for all you do, because we ask it in Jesus' name. And all God's saints say, amen. In this text, God is doing something. The book of Acts is all about what God has done after the ascension of the Lord Jesus. You'll see it in chapter 1. After Jesus ascended, the church began the real work that Christ had left it to do. And as it's working and laboring, it's doing it primarily in the city of Jerusalem and the surrounding area. And so we see in here what God's going to do in the life of so many people that actually led the gospel going to people like you and I, which are Gentiles. And so in this, we find it that here Peter, the devout Jew, is still wrestling with something God knows he's wrestling with. It's much like our wrestlings. When the Lord saves us, he saves us very thoroughly, but he still grows us and matures us and brings us along the way. I was preaching over in Covenant County Wednesday night, and we were talking about this a little bit. If there's one thing the saints need, they need encouraging, don't they? They need to understand that, you know, regardless of the pressure we put on ourselves or the pressure that other people put on us, Jesus is a faithful Savior. And not only is he faithful, but he's just. And he's much like, I made this analogy, sometimes people think, well, you know, new Christians, if they don't do it all right, then we need to get on them and straighten them out and, you know, pop their hand and all these kind of things. And so because, you know, we think everybody knows what we know, but they don't know what we know. And so what we find here is that people need encouragement, they need strengthening. And they don't need beating up. They get that out in the world. They do enough of that on the inside. Real saved people are already, the self-condemnation is enough sometimes. They don't need more of it when they get to where the believers are. And so Jesus was the encourager. He's the faithful encourager. And here Peter is. All he knows is what he's been taught. And so he's watching. And so here he is at Simon's place. And he is, I don't know if one of them brothers back there could find a cup of water, but I sure appreciate it if you can come up with one. I'll even pay for it if it takes it. But in this text right here, we see it that Peter's up there praying. And while he's praying, God's already done something over at Cornelius' place. And while he's done something at Cornelius' place, God's got Cornelius on the right page, who is a Gentile. And God has said something to him by the Holy Ghost and revealed something to him. And he told him to send to where Peter is. And the angel that appeared to Cornelius could have been, we don't know if it was the same angel or not, but it could have been the same angel that appeared to Peter. And so Peter referenced and said, who is it, Lord? But the Bible did say it was an angel, didn't it? And so this sheep, while Peter's praying, remember it's about lunchtime, dinner time down south. And so about dinner time, the sixth hour, that's 12 o'clock high noon. And while Peter's hungered, got a little growl in his belly, he's up on the housetop and he's praying. He's giving a prayer. And God takes a sheet and lowers that sheet down, held at the four corners. It just shows you God loves country living, don't it? Yeah. Jesus loved barnyard preaching. God loved country living. Yeah. And so we see it as he lowers that sheet down. You know, he didn't put it on a nice, fancy, you know, mahogany table. He laid it down in a sheet like country folks would. And he told Peter, he said, you look over in there. And he did. And so what do you see? And he said, Lord, I see a lot of things that I don't eat. That's what I see. And he said, arise, Peter, take and eat. Now, the word's already said he's hungry. And so why is he not eating? He said, Lord, he said, I've never ate anything. Now, this amazes me, Brother Larry. Of all the things that Peter done wrong, Peter could tell the Lord, I've never ate anything common or unclean. Isn't that amazing? An old rough cut fisherman. He's never had anything common or unclean, he said. And God didn't argue with him. Thank you, brother. Check's in the mail. So he's not arguing with him. Ain't that what people say? Check's in the mail. It ain't in the mail. You ain't wrote it yet. But here Peter is. He don't argue with the Lord because he knows the Lord's right. But he's scratching his head about this thing. And the word said that God did this how many times? Three times. Sorry about that. And so three times he has done this, he's lowered it down. He said, right, take and eat, Peter, take and eat, take and eat. And there's all kinds of things in there. Now go back a little bit. I want you to see this in Leviticus chapter 11. In Leviticus chapter 11, which is not anything pertains to you and I. So now you're wondering why we got to go look at it if it don't pertain to us. But I thought it might be a good time filler. In the 11th chapter of the book of Leviticus, what it shows us is that God had a dietary law for the Jew. And so there are things that he can eat and things that he can't eat. And that's what Peter's talking about. Peter said, I've never partook of anything common or unclean. Now God said this. Matter of fact, if you back up a little bit in the chapter 10, verse 10, watch this. The Lord said, and that ye may put difference between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean, that ye may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord has spoken unto them by the hand of Moses. Somewhere along the way, rough cut Peter, the fisherman that had a cussing spell. You know, sometimes people say, well, you know, if you truly get saved, nothing bad will ever happen in your life. Well, is that right? Well, Peter didn't get the memo, did he? Because the word said when he denied the Lord three times and that little fellow, that little woman and that Galilean said, your speech bereaveth you. The word said he cursed and went out. But Luke 22:63 said, then he remembered the words of the Lord. And as the eyes of the Lord Jesus looked across the way to Peter, and Peter looked at the Lord Jesus, the word said he remembered the words of the Lord and he went out and wept bitterly. That's the same Peter that said, Lord, I have never ate anything I wasn't supposed to eat. Now, in this, you'll find that is a very detailed, we're not going to read Leviticus 11, but it's a very detailed list. And this is why you don't go to Sonic and hit the little red button and said, I'll have a 10-piece lizard combo and I'll have an owl, some owl wings on the side. You don't do that. You know why you don't do that? Because we don't eat that kind of stuff. And we don't eat that kind of stuff because the old timers kind of passed on what God said, leave that stuff alone. Now, it doesn't mean we don't eat some things that's not in there, but we're not bound by the Levitical dietary laws. We're not talking about that. We're making a point that Peter understood what God said. But here the Lord wants to show him something that we need to get a hold of. And he's already done something at Cornelius' house, which is a Gentile. He's a centurion of the Italian band. And God has woke up a man 2 days away by the name of Peter. And he showed him what he's about to do. Fast forward over to the 11th chapter of the book of Acts. See this quickly. Try not to punish you too long here with the raspy voice. But watch this in the 11th chapter. In chapter 10, I want to focus a little bit on 10, if you will. Look back into verse 34. What they're doing is rehearsing that God said, go over there and go get him. And they went and got him. And they're rehearsing that God sent and got us and said, go over there. And so he said, go over there and told us to come over here. And we're here. We're all present. And so what do you got to say, Peter? We're all present. God said, do it. And we done it. And what do you have to say? Verse 34, then Peter opened his mouth and said of a truth, I perceive that God
is no respecter of persons. Don't you like that? Romans 2:11 said there's no respect to persons with God. And so to the Jew and the Gentile, watch now, to the culture, this is the part that applies to where I come from. My folks had PhDs, but it was in drinking, poker playing, women chasing, all these things. They had PhDs. It just wasn't in God's word. You know anybody like that? And so, you know, I learned more. I learned a lot by watching. I won't dirty your ears with some of the things. But some of my youngest childhood memories were things that I look back and I think, wow, were we dysfunctional or what? And you know what I find? I think we were. And some of you said, I think we were too, preacher. I think my bunch was dysfunctional too. But you know what? God is not a respecter of persons. You hear what he's saying? Now to Peter, this was Jew and Gentile. And so yes, Jesus, we know, saved Gentiles in his earthly ministry, didn't he? He called people. And Peter's watched that. He understood that. But there's still become this unspoken thing, if you will, where what God done was in Jerusalem. And while there were Gentiles that were saved, maybe it was still a wrestling match in their mind. Would God do it for them? And see, this is what happens to us. We come and we get subject to the Word of God and we hear it. I remember where I was on May the 3rd of 87. I sat back there and wondered, yeah, God did it for all these folks. They're kind of polished and look good. But would he dare do it for me? Because I knew what I was doing the Saturday night before, and it wasn't a prayer meeting. And I understood that as sure, just as soon as they let out, we was all going out into the woods of industry, and they would be about 100 folks out there waiting for a drag race. That was kind of a Sunday afternoon tradition. And so we'd probably, before the day's over, be running from the law because they want to stop the drag race. And so it was just an adventuresome time. But I know God will do it for them, but would God dare do it for me? See, that's what Cornelius needs to know. And so the Lord said, you sinned, and he sent him. And the Lord told Peter, you go, and he went. And so now, the centurion, he's there. Look into verse 34. He opened his mouth and said, God's no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Well, there's two things we can't do perfectly until we get saved, and we won't do them perfectly then. Number one is we can't fear God like we ought to until we get saved. And we sure can't work righteousness until we get saved. And we'll be miserable failures after we get there, but you get the point. You see the truth. Let's don't skip the truth. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, look in parentheses, he is Lord of all. He's Lord of all. You know, I find it interesting, Brother Donnie, that Jesus wasn't very good about saving Sadducees and Pharisees because they had no ear to hear. But John 12:37 said that the common people heard him gladly. The common people had an ear to hear. And at what Matthew 11:15 said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And so the common people had an ear to hear. That's why common people got saved. And so it's whosoever will, let him come. It's what John 6:37 is talking about. And he that's athirst, let him come. And so see this now. It's the same message right here. He is Lord of all. That word I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed with the devil, for God was with him. And we are his witnesses. Him God raised up, verse 40, the third day, and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen. And he commanded us, 42, to preach, to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. We're going to forward a little bit and read a little bit more, but I want you to get a hold of this. Here, Peter was taught all his life. There's common things
that you can partake of or you cannot partake of. Remember what he said? He said, I've never eaten that which is common or unclean. He said, God, I have followed the dietary law. I'm still amazed by that Peter did that. You know, the Lord saved some very interesting characters, didn't he? And his elite 12, you know what I think, Brother Larry? I think if that 12 was the best Jesus could find, think about it. James and John, the sons of thunder, they were ready to put their dukes up at a moment's hat or the drop of the hat in a moment's notice, weren't they? Rough cut boys, fishermen. And so they didn't mind tumbling. They didn't mind things like this in Luke 9:55. Let us call fire down from heaven and destroy them like Elijah did. And Jesus is like, fellas, calm down a little bit. The Son of Man's not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they thinking, bless God, it's a good time to call fire down, Lord, right now. They won't hear the gospel. We'll go upside their head. Or better else, we'll call fire down. That's what we'll do. Jesus said, you boys need to take a pill. They need a Xanax right now, every one of them. Hotheads. That's what they were. Peter was a hothead, wasn't he? He might have had his diet under control, but he didn't have his temper under control, did he? And old Malchus, when Peter drew that sword, and he went for Malchus, he wasn't trying to give him a little ear surgery. No, he was trying to remove the gourd off his neck. And so Malchus, you know, think about Malchus. You don't think Malchus got saved? I believe he did. Now, I ain't sure, the word don't say. But I'm going to go out on a limb and say somewhere along the way Malchus got in. Because one minute his ear is on the ground, and the next minute it's in his hand, and then it's in Jesus' hand, and then it's back on his head. And it wasn't abracadabra hocus pocus. It was the Spirit of God that completely healed Malchus. Now, if I was Malchus, I'd be looking for an altar right there. I'd be looking to get in, wouldn't you? The first time the gospel was preached after Jesus' resurrection, I'd have wanted to have been in the audience. And so Peter sought to kill him. Hotheads, rough cuts, that's what they were. Good old boys, Brother Gary. And Jesus picked those 12. Does that not show you there is a lot of comedy in the Word of God? Jesus, and we're thinking, if that's the best 12 he could have found, I'm in pretty good shape. Don't you ever think like that? And so here's old Matthew, one of my favorite, not much said about Matthew. But we know in the 9th chapter of the book of Matthew, he's over there and he's at the receipt of custom. He's got his little calculator going. It's boogity, boogity, boo. He's doing what the Roman government's hired him to do. He is a tax collector. He is part of the Roman KGB, CIA, if you will. He's friend to nobody. It's not family, friend, or foe with him. They're all the same. And he's exacting and taking exactly what the government says take. And he's going to send it back to the Roman emperor. And Matthew's about his business. And he's sitting there tallying it up for what the 9th chapter said. And so Jesus came into his house. And I don't know, maybe he had his little bib pulled down and his pocket protector, the word don't say. But we know this, he's sitting there at the receipt of custom and he's just a figure. And Jesus said something that caught his ear, remember that? And he said something about this, if a man follow me, if he'll follow me. And so here the word said, I like this, you said, preacher, if I could just have an elaborate conversion. Oh, if I could have a conversion like Paul, where he saw the sun as the noonday strength. He saw the brightness that shone down. And the Holy Ghost spoke Paul down. And Paul was on his back or face, the word don't say. But he said, who is it, Lord? I need a conversion like that. And I'll believe. No, you don't. Matthew didn't have one like that. He's sitting there tallying, brother. And Jesus said, after he sat at meat in his house, ate dinner with him. Ate supper with him, get it straight. And so he's sitting there in his house, and Jesus said, follow me. And Matthew, I don't know if he ever looked up, but he heard something. You know, it's not about how we come, if we go to the altar or don't go to the altar. It's about our response to the gospel call. And Matthew, maybe he had his little tallying book right there, and he shut the book,
And the word said he arose and followed Christ. You know what else the word says about Matthew? Nothing. Isn't that amazing? We don't know any more about Matthew. We don't see him anymore. Thomas. God called a Thomas, a doubting Thomas, who can't believe. Smart alecky fellow, wasn't he? They said, we saw Jesus. And he said, until I thrust my fist in his sides, where some of you are today. You say, preacher, I can't believe, I can't believe. No, you can't believe till God grants you repentance. Until the Holy Ghost does a work in your heart, you can't come. And Thomas said, until I stick my fingers in his nail prints, I got to do that to believe. And Jesus is listening, ain't he? And he showed up in the house. And Thomas, you don't think Thomas is kind of falling to the back, kind of easing around behind the other fellas, those other 11? He's kind of behind the 10. And he's kind of staying out of the way because he's done opened his mouth, done placed a bed he can't cover. He said, except I do this, I got to thrust my fist in his side or I'll never believe it. Is he saved? Better believe he's saved. But he's doubtful. And then what we read a while ago, the word said, nothing doubting. Nothing doubting. Whatsoever's not of faith is sin. And so people said, well, Thomas didn't do drugs. Thomas didn't have a rap sheet. Thomas wasn't in prison. Thomas, pretty good old fella. Thomas was in sin while he doubted, wasn't he? When we doubt what God says and we doubt what Christ does and we don't believe he'll do it for us, we're in sin, aren't we? Whatsoever not of faith is sin. But we think sin has to be visible, but it don't have to be visible. Most sin's not visible, Brother Hayden. We can't see it, but it's present. And so Jesus comes in and he said, Thomas, Jesus might have had on one of them button-up shirts, you know, where the tail tucked out. The word don't say. Thomas, thrust your fist in my side. He's like, Lord, I really don't want to do that. I know what I said, but I didn't much mean it. And if you let me off the hook this time, I won't ever say it no more. Amen. Conviction came into Thomas's heart. Why? Because he said something that he can't back up. I never read where Jesus gave Thomas a letter of termination. Did you? I feel a Holy Ghost chill. When he loved them, church, he loved them unto the end. It wasn't his end. He has no end. He has no end of life or beginning of days. He loved them unto their end. Their physical end. He loved them. Watch now. Peter's come down to Cornelius' place. Got to be quick here. While Peter spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the words. Well, I mean, it was dunamis power. The Spirit of God fell. Everybody was present. There was a lot of folks present. If you go back and read this text, by this time, they got a pretty good assembly there. They like, hey, man, Peter's on the way. You remember Peter? You heard about Peter, you know, back in the Gospel times, they wrote that letter about Peter, and Peter's on the way here. He's coming. The Holy Ghost said he's going to send him. And old faithful Cornelius right there, devout, like what the word said about him. He's devout to everything he knows. I like this. God saves devout people too, don't he? Because he's devout didn't make him saved. Now, I ain't saying he wasn't saved. But being devout, he said, preacher, I went to church all my life, never missed. Well, I don't make you saved. And so, wouldn't it be sad to sit and sing these songs like Glory to His Name and miss Christ and leave lost and die unsaved because your heart was too proud to say, put me on that list. I want to receive Christ too. See it now. Peter is on the way. Look into, they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. As many as came with Peter because that on the Gentiles was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. What God say to Peter? Don't call anything that I've cleansed common or unclean. And here the Lord has prepared Peter. He's preparing him, taking a silly example, like a bunch of old rodents, hamsters, turtles. And I don't know what was in the sheep. The word don't say. But there were some unclean animals in there. Leviticus 11 will tell you what was probably in there. Yeah, porcupines and, you know, things you can't get at Mickey D's. That kind of stuff. And so all this stuff is in there. And he said, Peter, look inside. He knew Peter was hungry. He said, Lord, I don't see anything on my menu. He said, arise and eat. And three times he said, I don't see anything in there that just don't fit, Lord. And God said, I've cleansed it. What I've cleansed, don't you call common. He's preparing him for Cornelius' place. What he's going to do. Because Peter in the 11th chapter is going to have to deal with the Jews, isn't he? He's got to go back to that bunch of stout, astute Jews and deal with them. And he's got to explain to them that God said what he called holy, you don't call common or unclean. That if God wants to save Gentiles, it's his business. If God wants to save drunkards, it's his business. If God wants to save Islamic terrorists, that's his business. So you said, preacher, God would never save a terrorist. He saved Saul of Tarsus, didn't he? And Saul was a terrorist, making havoc of the church. Breathing slaughterings, making havoc of it. Acts 8 and 1. And Saul, what'd he do? He just snatched them up by the tie and drug them outside and beat the punk out of them. That's what he done. And killed and made havoc of God's church. And the Lord saved him. And it was high noon on the road to Damascus. Brother, I tell you, it was the OK Corral of Saul of Tarsus' life. And when the Lord got done, God won the battle. And when he got done, Saul said things like this. Who is it, Lord? You know, people say, I wonder who won. Paul wasn't wondering who won, was he? Paul wasn't wondering. When Jacob got done wrestling with the Lord, he wasn't wondering who won. And when you get through wrestling with the Lord, you won't be wondering who won either. You'll know who won. God won. You know what happened on May the 3rd of 87? God won a victory in my heart. I didn't have sense enough to get saved. I didn't even know what the word meant. Jesus did it. Just as the Lord, Jesus said it, red letter, if you go back and look, Acts chapter 9. He said, it's the Lord. Who is it, Lord? I'm Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. You know what he's talking about? That's nothing to do with nowadays slang talk. That's all about an ox goad. That's all about when the farmer, he had a long pointed stick. Ernest T. Bass told you about the long pointed stick. You remember that? Oh yeah, don't act like you don't watch Andy. He said it's a long pointed stick. Remember Miss Helen said, how do you get a possum out from under a rock? He said, I'll tell you how you get him out. Long pointed stick. That's what Paul's talking about. That's what Jesus is talking about. And so that ox, when he don't want to go, what do? You poke him in the honey with a long pointed stick. He'll get up. And he ain't going to kick against the prick, is he? Because it's pointed. The gospel's pointed. That's what Jesus is saying. He said, it's hard for thee to kick against the prick, Saul. Found one you can't do nothing with here, Saul. You might could have whooped my youngins, but you can't whoop me. See, that's where we have to get. We have to figure out he is the victor all the time. Peter's got it. Look down into chapter 11, verse 2. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him. Because we get saved doesn't mean all our battles go away. They had revival down at Cornelius' place. And bless God, Peter goes back to work Monday morning. He goes down to headquarters and them Jews are waiting on him. Looking down their long noses and long robes. Long prayers. Dry as last year's corn patch. What you doing down there, Peter? They contended with him. It's exactly what the word meant. And Peter said,
He rehearsed the matter, told him where he was at, repeated the whole story. Go over a little bit and you'll see this in closing. And as I began to speak, verse 15, the Holy Ghost fell on them. I got a feeling most of them, Brother Donnie, didn't know much about the Holy Ghost. Didn't know much about him and wasn't interested in learning either. He said the Holy Ghost fell. That's what happened. The Holy Ghost fell, as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord. How that he said, red letter Bible, it's in red, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God hath given them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus, what was I that I could withstand God? Look at 18. It's already been alluded to today. And when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Preacher, I need to be saved. God will have to grant it. And you'll have to ask him. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Isaiah 55:6 said, call ye upon him while he's where? Near. Call upon him while he's near. The old timer said it like this. Do you cooking while the stove's hot? You make hay while the sun shines. While he's near, that's when sinners get saved. When the Holy Ghost calls. That could be a little child. They don't even understand two-thirds of what's been said today. And I don't understand two-thirds of it. So that includes all of us, don't it? It could be the littlest child. That God quickens his heart, her heart. And says, Lord, would you come into my life and save me? Why do we make the gospel so hard? Jesus made it simple. And church people make it hard. God give us this today. As we stand and Brother Ike comes, I pray.